Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
His head, Henley runs for a Miami first down. 7-3 Miami, second down and 10. Blue Devils have the ball at the Miami 25-yard line. Harris quarterback draw. He ushers it to the 15. Steers it left to the 10. He's at the 5. Harris into the end zone for a Blue Devil touchdown. Officially 24 yards. He broke two tackles, and Duke reclaims the lead. From the two-yard line, second down and goal, handoff, Deion Jackson pinballs, and he is into the end zone for a touchdown. Deion Jackson carries it into the end zone, and the Blue Devils have taken the lead 19-17. Harris looking, throwing deep.
Got it.
Calhoun is out there at the 25, at the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Blue Devils. The guillotine may have just dropped on Miami. 26-17. Ball at the Miami 28. Perry looking.
Ball is out.
Ball is stripped. Ball is loose. Blue Devils have it. And that's the ball game. And that's going to be the season for Miami. Blue Devils recover the fumble. And it's all over as Kobe Quantish has the fumble recovery. The team's top tackler in his 47th game. The senior has himself a collector's item. Manny Diaz will come to midfield. David Cutcliffe beaming with pride as his team snaps a five-game losing streak at the expense of the Hurricanes. A victory won by the Duke Blue Devils. Duke 27, Miami 17. That's your final score. Hurricanes finish the season 6 wins, 6 losses.
Patrick out of the shotgun. Back to throw. Blitz coming. Gets it off. Flips it downfield. And is caught by Devontae Parker. Did he stay in bounds? If so, it's a touchdown.
What
it is.
A catch by Devontae Parker. Jumps up man-to-man coverage. Stays in bounds and runs it in for a touchdown.
They're going to fake this thing. The Dolphins have players spread all over the field. 5 to the left, 4 to the right. They run it. They throw a touchdown. Unbelievable. It was Sanders.
Hawk
threw it. First and 10 from there. Gaskin remains the running back. Back to throw. Fitzpatrick throwing high into the air.
Got it.
Parker, touchdown.
All can't right. Stop him. Devontae right. Parker.
Fitzpatrick rolling to his right. Looking. Throws it. End zone. Touchdown. Gesicki.
Oh, what a throw.
Rolling out. Throws it up high for Mike Gesicki. To get, he's got his second touchdown on the season.
Turns in motion. They give it to Laird up the middle, and he is into the end zone. Touchdown, Miami.
Wow.
Boy, Patrick Laird doing it all, man. Doing it all.
Second and 10 from the Dolphins' 13-yard line. Wentz rolling to his right. Aguavin chasing him.
Fumble.
Got him. He's on the ground. A ball came out. I think Wentz got it back, but Aguavin will get credit for the sack.
Wow.
And the Dolphins are going to win this football game. Chris Lamons, his first ever NFL interception. One he will never forget.
How about that?
And the Dolphins win it 37-31 over the Philadelphia Eagles here at Hard Rock Stadium.
Well, a good morning to everybody out there. What a weekend. Hope everybody was able to get a few days off for Thanksgiving. I know we did, and it was nice to get a little time off. And so between sports and now talking about this would be like my 50th diet plan coming up now that the season is coming to an end here, and this Thanksgiving stuff. Yeah, it was just absolutely crazy on the amount of food that I ate was ridiculous. Pumpkin pie, apple pie, all the leftovers stayed at our house, and I just ate like a pig. It was just ridiculous that uh, the amount of food that was being thrown down. But I hope you had the same situation. We're trying to get we got the mic. Here we go. Happy Thanksgiving.
I just want to make sure the
happy
mic works.
Happy after Thanksgiving and yesterday. Just such a crazy game to jump right to the game that the Dolphins were able to play
in Philly Stadium, right?
In Philly Stadium. Yeah, Philly played an extra home game yesterday. Right. But the Dolphins just I don't even know what to say. Like, I know last night everybody was calling going, what the heck happened? And the play that everybody's going to be talking about, swinging gate, shovel pass to Mountaineer shot is the official name.
I love it.
Dolphins are calling it the Mountaineer shot. But whatever it is, I do know this. Matt Hawk is a really good athlete. We've seen him used for a lot of stuff. He's a great athlete at Arizona State. That was a big thing when he came out. But what a play. I saw him line up in that, and I went, well, maybe they're trying to – I mean, I had no idea what they were trying to do. I was like, okay, they had a guy on each side of the center, so that's not going to work. You can't run up the middle. You had guys kind of sneaking in going, if you run to my side, I'm going to knock the crap out of you. You're not going to be fast enough. The center snaps the ball, and next thing you know, Sanders, who's in the slot, who they're looking at is the kicker going, well, this is a joke, runs in the back of the end zone, flips the ball. Hawk does a great job of selling it like he was going to try to run, stopped as everybody's getting ready to hammer him on about the one-yard line, flips it over the top for the touchdown in one of the craziest plays for a punter throwing to the field goal kicker. Just crazy.
It's what play of the year, maybe. That's how crazy it was.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't seen it since 1964.
Right.
A punter throwing to a field goal kicker, and that's what you got. By the way, it was needed. And Coach Flores, who has got these guys, I can't tell you enough. As you get ready for a game, and you go, oh, look at that, four Pro Bowlers on the offensive line. Oh. Look at that, three first-round picks on the defensive line. A couple of those guys are really good. Oh, my God, look at this team. On the line of scrimmage, they're really good physically, just a real physical team that's going to give us problems. And Fitzpatrick says, okay, so I'm going to throw one-on-ones to the outside, get the ball, I'm going to throw it up where I give my guys a chance, get the crap knocked out of me like he did again yesterday. This whole thing with Fitzpatrick or Fitzmagic, which we should call him, is just unbelievable that they came back down 14 to start that second half, and they score, and I'm like, oh, boy, this might get ugly. This might be the turnaround, and the next thing you know, they go right back up, tie the game, go ahead in the game, and just fantastic to watch all the stories they have, Parker, Gesicki, Wilson, Hearns, Laird. It was one of the cleanest games played by the receivers, all of them across the board, that I can remember in a long time, where they had a chance to make a catch. They did. And Devontae Parker has just taken it like...
Well, he's a team MVP. It's not even a question.
Well...
I don't know who else you could put out there but Fitzpatrick.
The guy throwing to him.
That's it.
It's the two guys that have been the two best players. I'm just shocked they're winning these games with that group of guys that they play with. And every time you put a name out there, he was released by another team. And even to be on a practice squad, you got to be released before you go on a practice squad, right? Because you're open to everybody. So you're picking guys up off the practice squad. You're getting guys that have been waived by other teams. In some cases, two or three times they've been waived by guys, by teams. And they get here, and this guy's coaching them up. This coaching staff got them believing. They run around like it's a high school playoff game and just play really hard for each other. And they're led by that guy quarterback and has just – I see why they don't take him out. Like, if they take him out and put Rosen in, it would be such a mental letdown to the whole team after what he's doing. And
I know he's not the long-term answer, but he is really likable, man. Ryan Fitzpatrick,
like, he is.
What is there not to love about that guy? Like, he gets punched in the mouth. He gets up smiling. He's fun to watch.
I think all the guys respect him. I saw a defensive lineman coming up to him after the game, and I was looking for the Eagles, like just to shake his hand or guys that have known him because he's been on a bunch of teams. But you could just tell, man, there's nothing but respect. Like, dude, I hit you hard. Like, I came in late and hit you, tried to knock you out of the game. And he just kind of smiles and keeps rolling. But just great stuff going on there.
He was the second-best quarterback of the NFL yesterday.
Yeah.
He was the second-best out of all the games, no bye weeks, out of all the games yesterday and all the teams that played, the second-best statistical quarterback. That is amazing.
He really got the crap knocked out of him yesterday, a handful of times.
No, he does every game. But yesterday was right up there. But I was going to say that the game before he took a pounding. But he keeps going. He's throwing the ball. By the way, I don't think it's by accident. And I think he's got a lot to do with, besides the coaching, is why these receivers are playing so well. Like, Devontae Parker, like, hey, Ace, coming to you, man. You got that guy one-on-one. Here they come, blitz. I'm throwing it up. And he just jumps over the top of guys, gets in position, and makes these catches, and just keeps going. So I know the other side of this for people, and I figured this would pop up, and what are we doing? We're messing up the draft and all that stuff. They don't care. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to start here. I can't speak for everybody in the organization. This is a broken record that we say all the time. Brian Flores, his coaching staff, and the players don't care. They hear it. They know. They're aware of it. They know they got a lot of money and a lot of draft picks. But Brian Flores is not sitting around worried about Pittsburgh pick, the Texans pick, not worried about what he doesn't have on the team. He's going out. Hell, they tried an onside kick. We forget that didn't work yesterday. He's doing everything, and I think the guys are buying in, and he is. I can't imagine how much fun it's going to be once he gets a loaded team and gets better talent on
just
the team.
Just a talented roster, a more talented roster.
But, man, that was something else yesterday. But as far as the draft goes, and yesterday was a crazy day for everybody. Thinks everybody's out there tanking. The Redskins win. Cincinnati wins.
Well, that's the big news.
Denver wins. Right. Like, somebody forgot. Like, well, wait a sec, but they're all – yeah, but they're all still trying to win. No matter who's playing, like – I just don't know if tanks – I guess tank is the right word if we're talking about front offices. Like, hey, take this guy away from them because they're going to play hard no matter what. Take that guy away from them. Take some more horsepower out of that engine and let's see how they do. And I think all these coaches – I speak for – because I don't think anybody's tanking. I don't think there's one team – and I'm not speaking for front offices or ownership. I'm not speaking for them. I'm talking about coaches and players. They are going to try to win no matter where they are. Now, some teams aren't good enough. There's going to be games like the last couple weeks. We just weren't good enough. And that Cleveland matchup was a terrible matchup with the talent they had and the positions they had. But they're not going to care. He's not. So if you want to come in and congratulate Coach Flores on a win, great. And if it's not sincere and you're like, yeah, congratulations, that's good. I mean, you're a good coach, there's no question about it. He doesn't care. He only cares about getting the best out of this team, man. And he's got a lot of guys playing a really, really high level right now. So, yeah, that was you got to admit, even though I know yesterday and we're watching the scores of all the bad teams and everything, but watching that yesterday for me, I heard Troy Stafford say the same thing, like, man, hey, it's your job to go out and get the best players and get the players you want. You got all these picks to go do it. And the coach's job is to win games. And the player's job is to be as competitive as possible because people are paying money and they have pride and they want to stay around. And Troy, I thought, made some really good points. Like, for a lot of these guys, we probably don't hit it hard enough. Like, this is the last chance. Hell yeah, they're going to play hard. They're not going to pound like I'm on a sucky team. All the guys that felt that way are all gone. Mm. All the guys like, I can't play in this. Right, I see right. What you're doing. I can't play in this situation. They're all gone. Right?
You don't have to justify winning, though. That felt good yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, that was a really entertaining game. You beat a shady fan base that had a lot of their fans at that game, too. Like, it felt very good to win that game.
God only knows.
You don't have to justify it.
Well, it was a nice win, but it stunk when you saw Cincinnati win also, if you really are looking for that number one pick.
Well, if you're looking for that.
Right.
I just.
The offensive guru, Adam Gase, put up six points.
Oh, man. God. That guy's lost to the Dolphins when they were 0-7 and the Bengals at 0-10.
Yeah. That's the first time that's, yeah.
How does this guy, honestly, how does Adam Gase keep his job?
He's got.
I don't care if he's got 25 years left on his contract.
They're not going to get rid of him.
Yeah, like he's the Jets are a hot mess.
Well, we
with
got
overpaid guys everywhere on that roster.
We got him this week up there, and we'll be in New York. By the way, this will be the first time ever I can remember going back up and playing in the same stadium two weeks in a row. We got to go to break here. Are we going to be able to go to break? Good. All right, we're going to go to break here. We're having some technical problems we're sharing with you, but we got a lot of stuff. We haven't even touched Saturday, some of the other games from yesterday.
Oof.
Heat's a nice comeback at the end of the game last night. They keep winning. Panthers get a nice win from a brand-new goalie. My God, where did that guy come from? Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
That's not something that even at this moment I'm prepared to think about. We have to change the way that we're playing. I know that. Now, there's a lot of things that go into how that happens. But I think, as you get through the year, you step back and you look at the entirety of the year and you look at all the factors that go into that. And I think that's anytime you evaluate a staff, anytime you evaluate anything in the program.
All right, welcome back. Happy Monday morning. It's kind of, you know what? It's kind of a drag for the first time I have to get up today, man. After having a few days off there, I was like, oh, man, I'm back. Oh, that alarm went off. It's time to get up here and looking. And I just.
It was a mini vacation. You probably ate a lot.
I did.
I'm assuming over the last couple of days.
Bad combination of yeah. And when I wasn't eating the Thanksgiving stuff, the really killer is that she just.
How many desserts did you have at your house?
The desserts. Oh, they're so good. There's still about a half a apple pie and about a half a pumpkin pie left. And it's sad that I know how much is left in there right now, and I'm talking about it. Just to give you an idea, like I know exactly. Do you know exactly what's in your refrigerator right now?
Nothing right now. Because last night before I went to sleep.
But you know when stuff's in there and how much.
Right. But last night before I went to sleep, because I know the Monday is the trash day in my neighborhood, I literally took it all and threw it all out. Because I knew if it sat in there all week, I'd eat it all week. I've literally been eating it for 4 or 5 days now. Since Thursday, early Thursday, that's all I've been doing. Like, that's literally, I cooked for everyone in the house. I cooked Thanksgiving, and that's all I've been doing since Wednesday night. It's been tasting and cooking and everything.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it was like a relief last night to get rid of everything.
Well, I got to give it another shot. It won't last, but at least I know I won't be eating the way I just did the last few days.
And, well, if that dessert's still in the house, you're in trouble.
And the drinking, too, was
no
help. Corona premieres and dabbed with a little vodka cranberry and everything. And anyway, hey, it was a great time. It was a great couple of days off and a lot going on and having all the college football games on and the NFL games yesterday and watching last night. And, of course, I didn't forget about what we just heard, Manny Diaz and a 6-6 record, and he's going to be with us coming up here at 7 o'clock this morning. It's bad. I mean, it's two really, really bad losses. That team they lost by 10 to is not very good. Duke's not a very good team. Georgia Tech loss is in there. North Carolina ended up after looked like a great start, and they were the team. Their 5-win team. You look, and FIU lost yesterday. They end up 6-6. It's just bad. I don't honestly know, and just to be fair to the good games and the bad games, I don't know if talent's that good, number one. I guess we got to start looking at – I'm going to stop looking at stars and this guy does that and that.
Well, that's the biggest problem for this team right now, isn't it?
Well, I don't know if it's because everybody goes to the coaching part and, hey, are we coaching the guys or are they the right system? I don't know if it's got to be one of these things. You guys stay with me on this one. Motivation. Are they motivated every game? It doesn't look like it. Talent, brains, are they a smart team? Are they a bunch of dummies running around out there that don't do their assignments? Coaching and the schemes, are they best for the talent they have? And where are the playmakers? Like, they go, we disappear for, it's like a plow horse offense. Where's the playmakers? All these guys, where are they? Where's the team speed of guys that run by people and make a guy miss and take it to the house? They've got some numbers that are not bad in the ACC, but in Division I football. They are dead last in third down in the country. How in the hell are the Miami Hurricanes dead last in the country in third down? How about this one? Last in sacks allowed in the country. There are a lot of Division I teams out there now. It's not just the Power Five. There's a lot of teams out there. You're going to tell me their offensive line's the worst in college football? That's kind of hard to believe. A lot of those guys got recruited by a lot of different schools. They end up with, what, 45, 46 sacks, whatever it was.
It was a nine in this last
nine
game.
Nine in this right, one. Yeah. And, of course, would they have nine in the first one against
right.
Against the Florida Gators. So they're bad numbers. And let me ask you another one. This is the scariest one of all. I had way too much time to think about this over the weekend. Do we have a quarterback? Is Jaren Williams or Nikosi Perry the quarterback? Or is the guy still coming in? Do we got to go find him? Is he coming in?
I thought for a while you might have found Jaren Williams to be the guy.
Oh, he looked great. Threw up 7-8 real fast touchdowns right. in there, and you're like, all right, he's rolling.
But when he struggles, he struggles.
And, you know, whether he's worried about getting hit, not looking, and you know, all that same stuff we've heard. But there's just something ain't working, man. And this has been going on a long time. This isn't just a Manny thing. They're just an average team. We keep going, they're a 10-win team. They're going to be there. And then, no, again, they're just an average ACC team.
I have to actually say that they're not an average ACC
team. No, they are. Just that. They're
average. Below average.
All right.
You can't lose to Georgia Tech, Duke, FIU, and say that you're an average or above average. It's not even close.
Well, nobody said above average.
But I'm just saying you can't even go there. You can't say it's an average team. They're average because they're 6-6. But otherwise, this team is not average. They're below average. They lose, and when they lose to these bad teams, they look terrible.
Yeah. Well, that's
the problem.
Or they fall behind off these turnovers, right. and one side of the ball doesn't pick the other side up, and then they make a little late charge to tease you, and then can't get stopped. It's just defensively, this team has takeaways and intercept. Who are they? They got nothing in common with the last couple years. At least offensively, they've always had these problems. These problems have been going on for a while now, this offensive stuff. But defensively, the aggressive but sound playmaking, causing turnovers.
But Willis, Jaquan Johnson, Redwine, like those guys made that big of a difference? I mean, that big of a difference where they're not on the team anymore and this team just, the defense just looks that bad?
Well, they were all good players, but I usually, you find somebody next man up and guy gets a chance to play and makes a lot of plays or guy you can trust and, geez, man, it's bad. I mean, I'd reevaluate everybody and let everybody know. And look, I just want to let you know, if you're coming here to school, these jobs, when I say they're wide open, in case you didn't see the way we're playing, I have no loyalty to just about anybody on this team. It's been that bad. Just no big play guys. How about this number? I don't think they had a defensive touchdown. Oof. I mean, back when they were good, we were getting one a game. Right. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but we had a lot. No defensive touchdowns in 12 games. Not one where they pick up a fumble, hit a guy, pick the ball up, run it back. Nobody jumped in front of a pass and picked one off. Think about all those passes. Not one defensive touchdown. So,
well, how many guys right now on this roster that are coming back for next year? Not the guys that are being recruited for 2020 or whatever, but guys that were playing on Saturday that are coming back next season have their jobs locked up for next season. How many guys can you look at this outside of maybe the two tight ends? You know, because those are our two best playmakers right now, probably on offense. How many guys offensively and defensively, and Rousseau because he'll be back? But how many guys outside of those three or four guys are going into next year and you're going, that's a locked-in position We don't know if anyone could beat them out, not a young guy or one of these other guys. That's our starter.
Yeah, there's not too many guys.
Not too many guys.
No, there's
that says a lot about your program right there.
They just got guys. They're just really, I mean, when this thing started, especially even after the Gator game where Jeff Thomas drops a punt and drops a touchdown in the end zone. After that, I'm not just throwing it on him, but you win the game with those plays. I thought, man, you know what? This is going to be fun to watch. They were right there. I know it was a disappointment they didn't win that game, pull it out, and I couldn't have been more wrong. That 6-6 is, and the losses that they had, just really, really rough. Anyway, we'll have more with Manny coming up there. That was a little downer right there. 7 o'clock, Manny will join us, and we'll talk to him about everything with this team going forward. They also have National Signing Day coming up here in a few days, and everything. We also have college football. Everybody got to see Ohio State put it on Michigan. Whoa. LSU still scored. I think they just scored again. Clemson going, you guys are getting on us. We don't play anybody, but we just keep kicking ass. And then you got a bunch of one-loss teams waiting to see what's going to happen with all these conference championships coming up. And it's going to be – somebody ain't going to be happy. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. Somebody in Norman's not going to be happy, or somebody in Salt Lake City is not going to be happy.
It could be Salt Lake City.
When this is – you're feeling Salt Lake City? and they hammered.
I know.
I stayed up and watched the game. They hammered. Colorado.
They're fun to watch.
I just like watching the Hallandale.
Right.
The Hallandale Utes, man. Anyway, so we'll have a lot more to get to. We got a lot of stuff. 56022 as well. We got, you know, it's one of those days. There's so much that happened over the weekend. And I got to bring this up. I wasn't sure, and I asked you guys this morning if we should do this or not. For anybody that watched one of the biggest rivalry games in college football, probably the biggest in Michigan and Ohio State. It's fun. Everybody wants to see, first of all, if Ohio State's that good. Second of all, can Michigan finally get them at home? They were playing better. But Gus Johnson had a comment in that game that when we come back, we're going to play. When we come back, we're going to have that for you. Because I was like, whoa, where in the hell did that come from? I was wondering if anybody else had a chance to hear it and what their thoughts were. We'll have all that for you coming up in just a moment.
211 yards rushing. What does this kid not do? He's churning the clock out in between the tackles, and then bam, lightning on the outside, the explosiveness to go down and then up and over the top to put that ball over the goal line for a touchdown. What a day for J.K. Dobbins. Absolute dominant performance from Dobbins and this offensive line.
J.K. Dobbins' mom, Maya, became pregnant when she was 18 years old. She went to the doctor because she was thinking about aborting the baby, but changed her mind. That baby turned out to be that young man, J.K. Dobbins, who she calls her miracle baby.
What the hell do you say to that?
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
You know, we've heard stories through the years about guys overcoming stuff and families, homeless families being homeless. I always think of the old running back from Alabama, now with Oakland. And growing up and spent a lot of time with his dad and sleeping in a car because they were no jobs and stuff. We've had people overcome injuries. Frank Gore.
Right.
Knee surgeries in college. That was a little weird. I don't know if anybody else heard that.
That's a little too much information.
I was like, ooh. First of all, did she want you or right. did he want you to share that? Yeah, I went down and you know what? I just said, you know, I'm 18. I don't want to have this kid. And all right, you know what I am going to have? I changed my mind. Hey, he turned out to be a hell of a running back, didn't he? I mean, it was just kind of.
It wasn't needed. It was unneeded information on the broadcast.
Did anybody else that watched the Michigan-Ohio State game hear that and just have that thought? And again, I'm not trying. This is this is not however you feel about abortion.
No, it was really a very unusual story to tell on the air. I was wondering where he got it from. Like, did they discuss that in the pregame meeting? Where they meet with the broadcasters?
I don't know if J.K. Dobbins goes, hey, Gus, come here. My mom, that's my mom over there. She's a big fan of yours. Come over here. And she goes, oh, I wanted to share something about J.K. Besides, he's really a good running back. And, you know, he ran for 211 yards and four touchdowns into Michigan. He just scored again, matter of fact, while we were talking. But
it's just too much.
I was like, you know, I wasn't even sure I wanted to have him. Like, God. Just, I don't know. And Gus had it in his mind, like, I got to get this story, and this is a great idea. Right. And I guess it falls under too much information.
It is. That's what that is. Like, that was unneeded information on the broadcast. Probably a good story. And if you're doing a pregame kind of piece on somebody, or you're doing a piece.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
For Fox, or if Urban Meyer's sitting down with a mom or something and she wants to come out crying in an interview and say, this is what happened and I'm so happy this happened and it was a decision in my life that was tough for me to make, but look what it did. Great.
I got to disagree with you. I don't think it's a great story to tell any part of that broadcast.
No, not on the broadcast. That's what I'm saying.
Pre-game, post-game, halftime. I don't think that belongs in there anyway.
Those kind of sappy stories happen all the time on the pre-games and stuff like that where it's a sappy story like Joe said about this or about that. It's not for Gus Johnson to break out after the guy has a long run. Oh, man, his mom almost had an abortion.
I wanted to wait.
What?
I wanted to wait before I told this story till Gus went over 200 yards against Michigan's defense and they dominated and might be the best team in the country and he might be the best running back or one of the best running backs. But I want to tell the story behind here. And it was like, okay. And,
unnecessary.
And like, ooh, like, okay. I mean, I get that their families have to make that decision and however they feel. And you know what happens with this one. And the reason I almost didn't want to bring it up. Because that just gets into one of the hot topics in this country and the whole abortion topic and, you know, and everything else. And the last thing I want to do is get into that part of it. I just didn't know if that football game was the right time to tell that story. Maybe at a church. Maybe if you're out in front of somebody and, you know, and you're making a point about something.
It's a good story, but just not something for a football broadcast. That's it.
I didn't know if anybody else caught it. And so I was like, hey, you watch the Michigan-Ohio State game? Yeah. Did you see? Yeah. People, yeah, I heard it. What'd you think? That's kind of a weird story to tell at that time of the game. But I understand everybody likes, you know, these stories that come out, but that was like, all right. And Gus seemed really proud of himself. He's like, yeah, got that one, didn't I?
Couple texts just came in. Gus Johnson is a polarizing figure. That was too much information, too personal. Another one said cringeworthy. Another one said that was awesome. Another text said mom approved it. Okay, well, mom approved it too. That's fine, but why? Where does that fit in the broadcast?
I'm just like, hey, would you tell everybody on the air, I feel real strongly about this, that I almost – got rid of him when he was a, you know, so if you want
to use that after he has a good game.
But look how it turned out.
Right. I think the other texter's right. Like, that's even a story you don't tell your own kid, right?
That was another one. I'm not
like,
even
what do you
sure.
Say that? Oh, right. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate it. Yep. Glad you hung in there.
I have to tell you something.
Yeah. I almost didn't want you.
Right.
I mean, that's just really.
It's just cringe.
Damn, Mom.
It's really 50-50, pal.
Well, listen, Mom, I appreciate you staying. And I think the story was, the other part of the story is she was a working mom and, you know, raised the kids herself and that. And, of course, we hear that story a lot, too, and that is tough. And but, man, did we have to know that one little thing. Ooh.
Just a little too much information. That's it.
You think?
That's it. Story's nice. Everything is great.
I always wonder what, like,
agree or disagree with whatever happened. That's
Gus's
fine,
partner thought when he went there.
Right,
like,
right.
Oh, damn. That's okay. Hey,
Gus's partner, by the way, just got off staying about a 3-minute diatribe on how good this player
yeah,
is
right.
and how great he's running the offensive line and the quarterback's play. And look at this running back. And then Gus goes into that.
He didn't know he wasn't sure how to answer that one. That was like, oh, how do I go with that one? By the way, the other story coming out, I don't know if people think this is a big deal or not. I guess we're doing big deal or not stories right now. Freddie Kitchens, Pittsburgh started it, T-shirt, going to a movie. Apparently his kids gave it to him. Dad, wear this. We're going to had movie night with his kids. Had a jacket, but of course somebody saw it. And so it gets out. Pittsburgh started it before you're getting ready to play Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. And Freddie first came out and said, yeah, you know, probably shouldn't have had it on. And then he went all in and said, hey, it had nothing to do with us losing. No matter what the Steelers' offensive line says, he's classless and he got no idea. I don't know how people – I don't know.
You know who should have been wearing that shirt, if anything? One of his kids. You remember years and years ago when Pat Riley's daughter wore the free Eddie House shirt, like on the sideline because Eddie House wasn't getting playing time and it was kind of a joke down here. And Pat probably wasn't happy about it, but it was done. This is something that Freddie Kitchens' kid would wear to a movie, and there would be a Twitter picture about it or social media. For the head coach to wear that shirt.
Well, Freddie's already come out and said he supports.
Right,
you know,
and that's fine.
His suspended defensive end, and I understand that too, but I don't know. But, boy, I'll tell you what, Pittsburgh offensive line just blasted him. You got no class. Our coach would never do that. And it motivated us. And I always wanted to – did you really need any motivation, first of all, no matter what Freddie Kitchens does? Do you really need motivation after what just happened two weeks ago?
No.
Do you really need any of that stuff?
Mm-mm.
Because one thing about Cleveland, they're still cocky no matter what their record is. They still, like, are saying and doing things and like they shouldn't be talking. They're not very good. Got a lot of talent, but how the hell did they lose to Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh had half their team out again.
Right. Cleveland's a mess.
They were up too. What, 10-0, and then fell apart. So that was.
Waiting for a blow up somewhere in that Cleveland locker room at some point.
No, they're too busy still, like, blasting other people and all the things, and I don't know that.
Well, they did a good job burying that game yesterday, by the way. If that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah, that was.
The game kind of fell into the background yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah, well, listen, it was a crazy day yesterday in the NFL. But one thing we did find out, like, Cincinnati puts Dalton back in, they win. Washington gets a win.
Two in a row.
So all of a sudden, all these teams you thought were going to tank, there ain't no tanking, at least not from a coach and the players. And again, I understand a lot of people saw some of the comments last night. People were frustrated that the Dolphins put together one of the best wins they've had. Considering what they have, one of the best wins that I've been around was that win and what they were able to do to the – they were down 28-14. Eagles score right before the half, come out and score again, and you're going, ooh, it's 14. This could get rocking. And – Fitzmagic just kept it rolling, and they didn't quit and end up coming back and winning that damn game. Unbelievable. This Brian Flores, I'll tell you what, I don't know what's going to happen in the draft. I don't know how many of these guys will be back next year, players-wise. But this dude and his coaching staff, they can coach. They can coach. They're buying in, and they can coach like we haven't seen in a long, long time. Amazing. Anyway, we got to go to break.
We got a lot more to get to, and when we come back, it's Manny Diaz will join us. We'll talk to Manny about a very disappointing 6-6 season, to say the least. I know how Canes fans are feeling and all the stuff that's been out there, so we'll try to get into as much as we can with the coach coming up here in just a few minutes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.